Now, earlier this week, I got a great cup of tea from Maurice Deasy, who's farming in Tipperary with his dad, Rory. Maurice is one of the latest ambassadors for the Farming for Nature initiative in recognition of the work he's doing to encourage biodiversity on the family's 300-acre cereal and sheep farm. Since coming home 5 years ago, he's introduced all sorts of changes. And truth be told, I was curious to know what his father, Rory, made of all of that change. When I arrived, Rory and his neighbour, Francis, were busy down the fields planting a few heritage varieties of potatoes for the farmhouse. Maurice gave me a lift, and on the way, we passed some of Maurice's changes, including his biochar project.
So beside us is a big pile of branches from the ditches and
Yeah, from the hedges. You'd see them on every farm.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when a tree falls out of the hedge, or we've got a good bit of native woodland, so we'd harvest some timber out of that for the brewing and malting. So we end up with all these branches that doesn't too small to do anything with. And rather than burning it in a big bonfire...
So you're not allowed to burn it anymore,
exactly. From January, we won't be allowed to burn it. So we let this dry out, feed it into the kiln.
Now, the kiln is a bit of a fancy term in my mind, anyway, for a big metal tub.
Yeah? Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's not too fancy. Do you know what I mean? And it's not really expensive either. We built it ourselves.
Yeah.
But the important thing here is that rather than burning it down to ash, by leaving it as charcoal, now we can use this charcoal in our composting and we can use it in our fields.
But how do you get that out into the field?
A couple of ways. You can either put it into your slurry tank. It'll absorb the ammonia in your slurry tank.
Okay.
Put it into the compost heap. But I equally use it as a seed coating on our barley.
Well, that charcoal, how do you get that into a powder that you can, you know, roll your seed around in?
You can put it out in concrete and roll over it with a roller.
Okay. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be fancy.
Okay, fantastic. Right. If we stand here chatting any longer,
yeah, they might get in trouble.
Yeah. They're already getting going in the field. We're driving by tillage fields here. You've got a cereal crop, a spring cereal crop
spring
in there.
Spring barley, it's spring malting barley. And yeah, there would have been a lovely cover crop there with lovely big tillage radish and all sorts of 12 species. So a nice diverse cover crop over winter, protecting the soil, feeding the worms, feeding soil biology. Pull on out, close the gate.
Okay.
So now on the right, we actually have some intercropping. So there are beans and peas, and then beans and peas and wheat, and then we have, there's three different variety of beans. We've shifted practices and done lots of things, and it does have a risk, but I think we should be supported and encouraged and not just beaten on the head as, oh, farmers, you're bad. It's like, yeah, no, we've a very challenging job to do, and I think we can do it, and we should be supported and encouraged. And that's what this Farming for Nature thing, it's celebrating the people who are taking those steps and sharing that knowledge to say, look, you know, you can do these things and be positive for nature as well as creating a living.
You're unlikely to go bankrupt in the process.
Exactly, you know. So here's some multi-species forwards as well.
That we're walking across here.
Yeah, so some plantain, chicory, red clover. So that's the first bit we've drilled, basically.
Okay.
So that's to reduce the amount of nitrogen fertilizer that we need for it, because the clover will fix the nitrogen. But equally, now you've got diversity, so we should actually increase worm numbers, and then you get better soil health, all those other positive effects. Rather than just having a monoculture of ryegrass, you got a diversity there.
I see your dad and Francis.
Yeah, yeah. I will get you involved as well.
Oh, jeepers, a job for me. Well,
use those ones.
So Francis is headed off back to the yard. That's the spuds planted for this year.
That's right, Dara, yeah.
Yeah. Is that just for the one household now, or?
We have 5 of our 6 children are living in Ireland, so they come home and they get a bag of Golden Wonders as their favourite.
Yeah. All right, I suppose everyone has their favourite. Jeepers, when you were planting there, I think I could hear a cuckoo and calling, and then I think it was a shrew I spotted trying to make his way over the drills there after the tractor.
Yeah,
because it was a short tail and a short body, so too short for a mouse, I think.
There's the cuckoo there now.
Yeah.
She's here every year.
Yeah?
Yeah, always at this time of the year. About the 1st of May, you'd hear the cuckoo.
You've been around the block, as the fella says, Rory, a couple of times, and you've seen changes in your own farming system? You've seen, obviously, you would have had a big interest in the whole national picture through your involvement with IFA. It's almost like it's come full circle, is it?
I started farming in 1967 or 8. It's amazing in those 55 years or whatever to see the changes. This Nuffield tractor was what I started with.
And was a fine tractor in its day.
Yeah, it was indeed. And, you know, but I mean, you had to pin of your collar to do 4 acres a day. Yeah. And now we're into computers and AdBlue tractors and God knows what else. The sprayers that we had was a Ransom, and it did about 2 acres, I think, at a time. And we were adding in all sorts of toxic chemicals, yeah, with no face mask, no protection, no nothing.
So there was no regard for neither man nor beast nor nature or anything else.
It was we sprayed it the crops once, I remember that, for weeds. And prior to that, my grandfather used to always say he'd be in the evening and with the magnifying glass taking out thorns, because there was no CMPP and MCPA hadn't come in.
These herbicides that were able to take thistles out of cereal crops.
But anyway, I remember him and at that time. So we've come a long, long way, but I think we've come full circle. We've realised that we have to be more careful in the way we use chemicals and that. And we now no longer use seed dressing on our seed, because I order it without seed dressing. We no longer use insecticides in our crops. And you can see the difference. This is about 4 or 5 years since Morris came back, and I credit him with pushing me in this direction. I'm only the driver now, or the workman. Morris is the boss. But yeah, I can see the difference, and you can see ladybirds, you can see cobwebs in the morning.
And would you not have seen that over the years anyway? No.
No.
Maybe you've just become looking out for it more now.
No. I guarantee you, I can see the change, and I can see it here.
And even the seagulls, when we do cover crops now, and even when we do plough, the seagulls and the worms after a cover crop, compared to just bare ground over winter, is a big difference. And it's fun to see Dad noticing it as well.
And the point you're making there is that the seagulls have worms to feed on. If there's no seagulls following the tractor,
there's no worms.
There's no worms. And if there's no worms in the soil, there's no life in the soil.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we have to do more tillage, more diesel, and more fertilizer, whereas now the cover crops are doing more of that work. You know, it's a challenge in getting them established and getting the right mixes and learning these new skills, but at the same time, it's more challenge of the brain and less of brawn of diesel and costs. And that's, to me, it's to make the farm more profitable as well, you know, by reducing our inputs and being more sympathetic to nature and working at one with nature. And that's, if it helps our bank balance, well, it's a positive thing. Do you know what I mean?
And is it helping your bank balance?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
We used to spend in tons of fertiliser.
Yeah.
We used to always buy about 28, 30 tons of 10, 5, 25 for the cereals. And we used to buy another 35 tons of nitrogen.
Yeah.
We're now down to about 20 tons of nitrogen. And we're down to about 20 tons of 10, 5, 25.
With the same area.
Same area, yeah. And I don't see any difference in the yields. If anything, I see the yields going up. So I think you have to be conscious of why you're putting it on and just play around with it. And as I said, it's nature will do the rest.
That was Rory Deasy farming with his son Morris in County Tipperary. Morris will be hosting a Farming for Nature walk later in the summer if you're interested in seeing how the Deasys are getting on. And speaking of Farming for Nature, The Horse's Mouth is a new mentoring programme where you can organise one-to-one conversations with a Farming for Nature ambassador on your own farm to get some tailored practical advice, as they say, straight from the horse's mouth. Details of this and the regular farm walks this summer are all on the farmingfornature.ie website.